Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Today is International Holocaust Memorial Day. As distinct from Yom HaShoah, which happens at a different time, this is the day that the international community commemorates the Holocaust, and it's done on the day that Auschwitz was liberated. Somebody who knows so much about this whole subject of the Holocaust is Tali Nates. Tali is the director of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center, as well as chairman of the South African Holocaust and Genocide Foundation. Tali, it's great having you with me, even if it is on such a somber day.
Absolutely, and thank you.
Tali, so we have this discussion pretty much once a year. What kind of strikes me is that in the short time, things seem to have deteriorated so much so quickly. Instead of getting better, things seem to be measurably worse. What is your take on that observation?
Simon, you are right to, of course, observe that anti-Semitism is on the rise. If we thought that in April or May of 1945, the world learned anti-Semitism died and will never be born again, of course, we are wrong. The oldest hatred is with us. Was with us after the Holocaust, and even if it was somewhat dormant in certain areas in the world, it is certainly on the rise, and specifically on the rise in time of crisis, and we are in times of crisis. Anti-Semitism is always also the canary in the mine. It's the oldest hatred and the one that pops its head when things are not right in the world. And maybe the Jews are first, but they're never the last. So we need to, we need to listen. It's a warning. It's a warning to the world.
Let's talk about the issue of Holocaust education, and let's question how effective it is, given this increase that we're seeing worldwide and on social media in particular.
So it's a really interesting question because, of course, especially in the last 20 years or so, from the 1990s, 2000s, Holocaust education is certainly there. There are maybe 300 or more organizations, museums, centers, university departments that are teaching about the Holocaust, researching about the Holocaust. But of course, we know that education is limited. Education is a wonderful way to tackle, and to empower people to know, to give information and true information. But it's not the only one. It has to come together with other elements. And for example, what was really important last week on the 20th of January, on Thursday, was that the United Nations, for example, passed, with no exceptions, all 193 countries voted for it, even though there is the issue of Iran that I can speak about later because they were not there. But in any case, 193 countries voted for a resolution on Holocaust denial and distortion. And this is unprecedented. I'll just very quickly just tell you one or two things that maybe our listeners don't know, but this resolution basically stated that intentional efforts to excuse or minimize the impact of the Holocaust or its principal elements, including collaborators and allies of Nazi Germany, is not allowed. You are not allowed to minimize the numbers of victims of Holocaust in contradiction to the reliable sources that we know. Attempts to blame the Jews for causing their own genocide is not allowed, because we see that happening. So education has to come hand in hand with other efforts, and it has to be global. It cannot be here and there.
So I don't know if it's just a permanent state of Jewish identity, but I kind of feel like we're living in a world of cognitive dissonance. On the one hand, you've got this. On the other, you've got Joe Biden appointing Deborah Lipstadt as the person in charge of anti-Semitism. I mean, these are great efforts to ensure that this curse is subdued or wiped out or whatever it is. And yet the treatment that Israel gets at the UN, where it's the only permanent agenda item on various committees, I mean, they are still being singled out because it is a Jewish state. How does one put these two different approaches together?
So again, this is very, very difficult because anti-Semitism that I spoke about a little bit before changes and mutates with time. And certain elements are always there. Certain stereotypes are always there. And for many, many centuries, it was Jewish hatred and, you know, phobias against Jews and so on. And then it became in the 19th century racial anti-Semitism. So it's in the blood. You cannot change. Yeah. And there are certain things that are always, always there. It's always against a Jew or the Jews. And now, you know, because there is only one state for the Jews many times, then it is directed against that entity. So it's the community or the state of the Jews. But it is still part of that mutating anti-Semitism that is sadly here, and sadly is from right, but also from left, from educated and not educated, and from Eastern Europe and from, you know, from different countries in Latin America or Africa or Asia. So it does not stop in one sort of form. And that is really, really very, very scary at times to see.
Very scary at times to see. Very scary at times to see also the co-option of organizations such as the BBC, who misreport incidents on Hanukkah between Jewish kids on a bus. It seems to me that it's become an acceptable hatred. It seems to me that whilst the whole world is woke and redefining concepts, somehow anti-discrimination just doesn't apply to Jews.
So you chose the half empty, Simon, and I will tell you, if you allow me, about an amazing, amazing meeting of 70 heads of states, presidents, and heads of delegations that gathered in October in Malmo, Sweden. It was called the Malmo Forum, Remember, React, and all those 70 heads of states gathered only to speak about Holocaust remembrance and fighting anti-Semitism today. And all of them gave pledges, from building museums. For example, Sweden itself is going to open their first Holocaust museum this year, and research and writing, and including the Holocaust in the curriculum in many, many new countries. So, you know, there is a fight. The fight is real against anti-Semitism. People and countries do not ignore this, you know, at all. But we do have to be really vigilant. We cannot just let it go.
Tali, last question, and just it's on a completely different level. Why the two different days? Why today and then Yom HaShoah? Why not just one?
So Yom HaShoah, as the listeners hopefully know by now, is marked on the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, always around April, always on the beginning of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising that was, of course, in 1943. And that's what the Jewish people remark as Yom HaShoah. For the international community, Israel, with the support of some other countries in the United Nations in 2005, passed a resolution that 27th of January will be the International Day in memory of the victims of the Holocaust. And this year, it's the 77th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Of course, it was liberated, the complex of camp of Auschwitz, was liberated by the Red Army. Maybe some of you do not know that it was Ukrainian forces,
wow,
actually, that liberated,
wow,
the camp. And
that
is, I think, quite important, wow, in today's world. They were part, of course, of the Red Army. They were the Soviet 60th Army, and they were the first Ukrainian front. Interesting.
Very, very interesting indeed. Tali Nates, we're going to leave it there. We're out of time. But as always, thank you so very much for your input this afternoon.
Of course. Thank you.